Thank you. Hebrews 13, please. Hebrews 13, your Bible, and we're going to go to verses 5, 6, and 7, and bring a shorter message tonight than what we have normally preached because of the events of the evening, and get you out in good time. Hebrews 13, verses 5, 6, and 7 is what we'll read. We'll be in one verse tonight. Look at a couple of others. Let's stand, please, in honor of God's good book before we have our song. You join me on verse number 6, please. I'm reading now verse 5, last chapter of Hebrews 13, and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And dear Father, we ask you now, please, to come and touch the preaching of your word. May the Spirit of God have his way in our hearts. And Lord, we try to emphasize special truths that help, we believe, make a church blessed. And we looked at three of them already this year. We'll look at another one tonight. And these have been in practice here for these many years. I pray that you'll help us to keep it that way. Thank you for these folks that are going to sing. Speak to our hearts through their song. And in the message to follow, please ask you in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. All right. Thank you.
folks, that was a blessing. Good Christmas song. You see the deity of Christ in that song, or in that verse. For unto us a child is born. That's humanity. Children are born. Unto us a son is given. That's God the Son. He's not born but given. And you see the deity of Christ in that one verse right there in Isaiah chapter 9. And a great scripture in Christmas time especially. I want to speak tonight out of verse number 7 we read there a moment ago. And I want to speak to you on this subject for just a few minutes. The right church order. The right church order. And let's pray and ask God's blessing. Dear Father, I pray that you'll bless these thoughts now. Give us your help and liberty. Lord, there was so much liberty in the service this morning just to concentrate and preach without any kind of limitations or restraint. Lord, that's such a blessing. I don't know what you'll give tonight. I know what I need to ask for. I want to ask you for that same liberty and that same visitation from above. And our hearts might take the word of God and learn from it. And I'll thank you for it. Thank you for these wonderful people. Lord, bless us in the years to come. As we have looked back over these 40 years, we anticipate, if Jesus, you stay in heaven, great years to come. Help us to be faithful. Bless this message. Let it be one of those that kind of sets us in our course of the future. In Jesus' name, and amen. The writer of Hebrews comes to the conclusion of this book. Most people think that Paul wrote it. And basically, chapter 13 is just full of exhortations to several excellent duties, responsibilities that will enhance our Christian walk. Now, three of these verses in this chapter deal with those who, in Paul's words, and I'm quoting now, have the rule over you. Those are his words. I want you to look at verse number 7. We read it just a moment ago. Remember them which have the rule over you. Verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Then verse 24. He says, salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. So three times he uses that phrase, those or them that have the rule over you. This is a reference to those who were their pastors. There were those who were their church leaders. And it is easy to see that from the characterization of these men. He said in verse number 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. And so he's talking here about the pastors of their churches. Now, I want to wrap up this 40th anniversary celebration. I have tried to preach some messages that on each one of these special Sunday nights that I believe are reasons why God has kept this church here for 40 years. And I believe if we pay attention to these same reasons, God will keep this church in good order, in good standing, until Jesus comes for us. And who knows how long that will be. It could be next week. There's nothing that will prevent his return in the air. And that has to prevent it. So I don't know how long it will be. The first Sunday night we celebrated this 40th anniversary, I preached on the right love. And out of Revelation chapter 2, the right love is first love. First love, the right love. And then I preached in the second anniversary celebration on the right Bible. And I believe there is a right Bible for the English world in this day and age. And I believe we use it here at this church. And I've always used that. That's why God's blessed. One of the reasons. Number 3, I preached on the right outreach. And we talked about the outreach ministries and going out through the bus ministry and other outreach ministries of the church just a few months ago on that particular Sunday night. Tonight, I want to come to the subject of the right church order. The right church order. When I came to this church 19 and a half years ago, Faith Baptist Church already had the right order. I did not have to work or fight to establish that principle, that aspect of this ministry. Faith Baptist Church was a church that, for the most part, had followed its leadership, followed the pastor. And that's exactly what of the right order is. You see that in verse number 7. Now, it's interesting because Paul qualifies it. He says in verse number 7, those who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? Now, folks, the pattern of those churches over the years that have been blessed and used by God, that pattern includes many things, but it always includes the right order. The right order. And I'll tell you what that right order is. If you have the right order in a church, first of all, that means there is a pastor to lead. Now, that's implied if folks are to follow. If folks are to follow, it's implied that somebody's leading. Okay? So there needs to be a pastor to lead. Some years ago, I think it was more in the evangelical church realm, the idea of the plurality of elders began to pick up popularity. And the idea was that there would be no one leader in the church. There would be a group of elders that would form a council or a committee or something, and this plurality of elders would lead a church. Now, but you understand that goes against everything that any entity in history has ever experienced. You know that governments, most governments in our world have, some are dictatorships, but most governments in our world have a system of checks and balances. But even in a system of checks and balances like we have here in the States, there is only one in a leadership position. We have one president, not two. We have one president, not six. We don't have a committee. Businesses have boards, and businesses have advisors, and businesses and corporations have stockholders. But there is only one person in the position of leadership. A two-headed monster in the business world can't survive. And if you have two men who are starting in work together, one of them most definitely will have to play the role of wife if the thing's going to succeed. Because two-headed monster can't succeed. So it's true about government. It's true about business. Professional sports teams have great staffs. They spend a lot of money on their offensive and defensive coordinators, and other type of ball teams have leadership, and they have coaches. But there is a person who is in the position of leadership in the sports world. And it comes to educational institutions. They have their faculties and their board of trustees, and they have their student unions, and all of those folks help to guide the purpose and the program, I guess, of the school. But there is one person in the position of leadership. And that's how it's always been historically. Not just in the realm of the churches, but in anything in the world that works. There's a person who leads. There's a person who charts the course. Now, some would argue that there was a plurality of pastors in the first church in Jerusalem. And there was a plurality of elders there. And absolutely, there's no doubt about it that Peter and James and John were known as the pillars of the church. But if you read the book of Acts carefully, when there were discussions on certain issues, and when there were decisions that had to be made, James was the man that everybody listened to and followed his leadership. And when Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and Silas, were in a distant land on a missionary journey, it was the men who came from James that came down to do business with Paul and Barnabas. It wasn't the men, our Bible doesn't say, I was going to turn there, but for the sake of time alone. It doesn't say the men who came from Peter, James, and John. Says the men who came from James. Now, there's no doubt that Peter and John were influential pillars of the church in Jerusalem, but it seems like, as you read the Bible carefully, study it a little bit, it seems that James was the man who spoke, and he seemed to have the final say or suggestion, and the people were glad to follow the James's leadership. There has to be a pastor to lead. That's the right church order, okay? It's not a power grab thing. It's not a self-proclaimed dictatorship. It's God's order. There has to be a pastor to lead. Now, that also means that there has to be a people to follow. And the people are to follow the pastor's faith. Whose faith follow? Now, wait a minute. This is not a reference to his salvation. This is a reference to the body of faith
that he believes, he practices, he preaches, and he promotes through the program of the church. This is not blind fellowship. This is following his faith. And we have a book to see if the pastor's belief and practice and preaching and program and purpose are in line with what God wanted for the New Testament church. So it's not blind fellowship. There's a book here that guides the people. Okay, our pastor's on course. Our pastor's preaching and his belief and his practice and the program and the purpose of Faith Baptist Church is not contrary to Scripture. So, as a group of people, we ought to be able to follow his faith. That's what the Bible says. In fact, the word follow is imitate. Imitate. Now, the pastor is in the position of leadership in the church. There has to be a pastor to lead, and there has to be a people. By the way, folks, I am convinced that's why God has blessed Faith Baptist Church. We've had the right church order. We've had the right church order. Now, so the pastor's in the position of leadership in the church. Listen very carefully. It is not his church. This is not my church. Now, in our talk amongst pastors and amongst brethren, you know, how's your church doing? Well, we had a great day at my church, and we use that terminology. But I don't know of a single pastor who believes that this is that the church belongs to him. Okay? This church doesn't belong to me, and it's not my church. It is God's church. This church is not a pastor's kingdom. The church is not a pastor's kingdom any more than a family is a man's kingdom. Family is not a man's kingdom. The family and the church are God's institutions. They belong to God. So the church belongs to God, and the family belongs to God. The pastor being the leader is not a matter of being better any more than the man leading the home is not a member of being better. It's not a member of being better. Most men that I know are under the conviction that their wives are superior Christians than they are. That's my belief. My wife's a superior Christian than me. I know I live with her. She knows it too, because she knows it too. So, I believe that to be true. But she's not ahead of my own. She's a better Christian than I am. But she can't leave the home. Because God didn't put her in that position. It's not my home, it's God's home. I'm just a man God put in a marriage relationship with a good wife and gave us the offspring, and we only have a few left. The boss around. Amen. Just a few. It's not a matter of being better. And the truth of the matter is, there are many church members who are superior Christians to the pastor of this church. I know. And I teach that. When I teach homiletics, I tell these fellows, according to the book of 1 Timothy, that, fellas, you don't have to be the best in any one area of the Christian life, but you have to be an example of all areas in the Christian life. Because Paul told Timothy, be thou an example. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example. And then there are several areas where he was to be an example. I'm not under the pressure to be the best soul winner in the church. I'm not the best soul winner in the church. But Caleb Hess is the best soul winner in our church. And the truth of the matter is, before he got here, there was a couple other laymen who were better soul winners than I am. But I have folks that I've led to Christ who are sitting out in the pews tonight. I'm not the best prayer warrior. I use names when I teach. I use names of some of you folks who I believe are better Christians in certain areas than I am. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm not under the pressure to be the best in any one area. I want to do my best. But I'm not into this comparison thing. I have to be an example in all areas of the Christian life. I'm not the best Christian here, but you may be a better Christian in some area, but your name is not pastor. And God put a pastor in his church in a position of leadership. And he tells the people, here's the pastor. He's not the best Christian in any one area of the Christian life. He's an example, and he should be in all areas of the Christian life. And if the faith that he believes, and he practices, and he preaches, as he purposes and promotes through the programs of the church, if that faith pretty well lines up with the faith that's in the Word of God, then church, get behind him and follow him. Do something for the Lord. That's the right church order. That's the right church order. I don't preach that. I don't preach that with any kind of inhibition tonight, because I don't pretend to be a dictator, boss a bunch of folks around. But I do know this: if somebody's not reading and other folks aren't following, this thing's not going anywhere. It's biblical. So the pastor, God's order is one man leading the institution of the family that belongs to God. And God's order is one man leading a church, the institution of the church that belongs to God. Now, think about this with me and I'll be done. As the pastor leads, if you can think about boats going through the water, or for some of you fellows who were in Vietnam and other, maybe combat, you were in combat, a man who lost point. You ever been to Washington, D.C. and seen the Korean War Memorial? And there they have a platoon leader who's walking point, and then in a V shape behind him are the folks that are in his platoon. He's leading the way across the field. He is walking point. A boat goes through the water, and as it goes through the water, it creates a wake. Right? And that wake widens. Now, as a pastor leads a church, he creates a wake. And the right thing for the members of the church is to locate themselves somewhere within the wake that the pastor leaves as he leaves. You got that? That's the right thing. Get inside that wake. The pastor leaves and he creates a wake, and so the church members ought to get in somewhere, locate themselves within that wake. The wake the pastor leaves behind him as he leaves. So the pastor is great. He has belief, his practice, his preaching, his program, his purpose, and in his way he leaves a wake of belief, a wake of practice, a wake of preaching, and a wake of a program and a purpose, and follow church members. God will bless a church as a pastor who's leading according to the Word of God, and the members who find themselves somewhere inside that wake. Now let me take a couple of things tonight. Number one, it's up to you how close you follow. You know, the wake gets bigger, right? The wake spreads and spreads and spreads and spreads. Now, if you want to follow real close, you can get real up close to the pastor's leadership, or you can get to, at a distance. Now, if I had it my way, I'd be close friends and bosom buddies with everybody in this church. But some folks don't want that, and that's okay. Some of them want to be close to the pastor. It's not a matter of being close to the pastor. It's a matter of finding yourself somewhere in the wake. And if you want to follow at a distance, follow a few feet off, then follow a few feet off. But get in the wake somewhere. It's up to you how close you follow. But let me say this. It's necessary for God to bless the church. It's necessary for the bulk of that membership to be following. Folks, can I tell you, sitting in a pew does not mean you're following. And being a member, your name on the roll doesn't mean you are following. What does it mean that? Following means following. Okay. You don't have to go to the Greek. I think it's pretty easy. It's easy to understand. The pastor's not going to stay in one place. He's going to leave a wake. He's going to create a wake. He's moving ahead. He's leading the church, and the wake is going to broaden. And if you don't want to get close, okay, then back off somewhere a good distance away. But if this is the wake over here, be inside the wake. Don't be outside. Be inside the wake. Be following in the wake that the pastor creates as he goes forward. Now, some people have a hard time following. Just have a hard time following. They want to be in the membership, but they have no intention of following. Huh? And I'm telling you, does it mean the church can't go forward if you have members who don't follow? Yes, the church can go forward if you have members who don't follow. If the large percentage of the church is following the leadership, God can bless them. And I think that's what's been the case over these years here. A pastor to leave before I got here. There were four other men who left. And for the most part,
people of the church, the bulk of the people of the church, follow behind that leader. They got in that wake. They got in the wake somewhere. They got in that wake. And they followed and moved ahead. Folks, there's no way. I said this a couple weeks ago. There's no way one man could do all that's been done out here. No way. Absolutely no way. This has been a team effort, a joint effort. This has been blessed by God. And part of the reason is because we've had the right church order. Some people have a hard time following. You know, we have men in this church who are leaders in the work world. There are some of you men, you are responsible for people underneath you. Some of you men who are business owners. Some of you men who are self-employed. And others who are leading in other areas of work. And sometimes leaders have a hard time following in the wake. Because you're a leader. You know what I say? Praise God that we have a church with men who have leadership skills and leadership abilities and leadership potential. And I thank God. Now, you don't know how my heart, I don't mean this wrong, ladies, but you don't know how my heart rejoices when on Sunday mornings I look around and I say, men, 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 because I go places. I'm telling you. I'm not against it. God knows we need the female gender. If that's all you got, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. I look around and I see men. Men standing in the foyer, men fellowshipping, and men this, and men that, and men this, and men that. And you know, sometimes the men take a little bit of a hit. I'll tell you what, we had more men out visiting this week than we did with ladies. I say amen to that. It's a wonderful thing. And so we got good men, but sometimes men have a hard time. Men who are leaders have a difficult time getting into the wake and following in the wake. Sometimes, not just this church, other churches too. You'll have men who want to hover around the periphery. They're in the membership; they want to be there, but they're never a part of the wake. They're always on the outside, doing their own thing. They never are following in the wake. They're never a part of the program. Oh, they're around. But they're not in the wake. They kind of got their own thing going while the pastor has his thing going. It would take a thing. If we have too much of that, the thing falls apart. God doesn't bless that. You can't run a business like that. You can't be over a group of men like that. You can't be self-employed and have people work for you like that. You can't be all working at church either. Absolutely won't work at a church like that. You've got to have fellows who understand leadership and they understand authority. They understand that, you know what? In this sphere of my life, I'm not in control. In this sphere, you know, when I go to work on Monday and I got these certain people underneath me, bless God, I'm the one creating the wake. And when I've got my business and myself employed in this area, I've got the people that work for me, work behind me, they're in my wake. But when I come to church, I'm not leading the wake. I'm not creating the wake. I'm following somebody else's way. Well, amen. That's right. That's how it has to be if God is going to bless a church. Sometimes following is difficult. Sometimes following is difficult. Sometimes the pastor of the church is not as good a leader as a man. I see men sitting out here who have responsibilities. You oversee people. But Tim's sitting out here sitting on this large, I drive by that Kmart thing, and it makes me feel good. The man who runs that place goes to our church. Amen. I like that. And others of you, you're in leadership positions. So you've been on your own business, self-employed. It's a wonderful thing that sometimes you have leadership skills that surpass the pastors. But when it comes to the church, you know about business, you know about marketing, you know about advertisement, you know about running your program with your people. But when it comes to the church, I got to get behind the man that God put there as pastor. That's biblical. See, that's the way, that's how God blesses the church. And it takes commitment. It takes a commitment to following. It doesn't matter, friend, if it's a family, if it's a business, if it's a church, it takes commitment to following. At work, you get paid for following. At church, you volunteer to follow. Now, I have no jurisdiction over your home. None whatsoever. You men that are dads and husbands, you have a wake of leadership at your home, and you men that have your own businesses and are self-employed, and you're over groups of people. I think of Dennis Carlson up there overseeing How many dozens of contractors and workers up there? I mean, some cases, hundreds of them on huge building projects. And he is creating the wake. They're all over this room. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I have no jurisdiction over your leadership at work. None. I would never presume to show up at the job and say, Brother Dennis, what you ought to do is this, this, and this. I would never do that. Brother Tim, I would never come to you and say, Brother Dennis, now you ought to lead all these folks out here. This distributorship out here. I wouldn't do that. I have no jurisdiction over a house, over your home. I have no jurisdiction over your leadership at work. I'll tell you where I have jurisdiction. I'll tell you where I have the say. It's in the position of pastor of Faith Baptist Church. And the wise man realizes, you know what? When I walk through the doors of Faith Baptist Church, I'm not here to create a wake. I'm here to follow in the wake. It's hard to create. That's biblical. It's not works. It's what makes it work. But the wise man does. The wise man finds a pastor whose leadership and wake is easy for his family to follow in. He gets in that church and he gets in that wake and he serves God under the leadership of a man whose faith lines up his belief, his practice, his purpose, his preaching, his program lines up with what's written in this book right here. And folks, you can go back through time historically. God has blessed a church where there has been a pastor to lead and a people to follow. Now you take that away. You take that away, you're going to have problems. And I'm not patting myself on the back tonight, not setting myself up in some kind of position that's not biblical. I'm just telling you, for God to bless a church, there has to be a leader and there has to be a people to follow that leader. That is the right church order. Doesn't have to be a dictator, shouldn't be a dictator. He's wrong if he is. Because this is not my church. This is God's. I think if we just have the right order in God's church, God has blessed this place for 40 years. I think God can keep blessing it. Amen. It doesn't bother me to preach this one little bit. You know why? Because you're going to have a hard time blessing with it. You're going to have a hard time busting. If I came to your house and had to have jurisdiction over your home, I'd be wrong. If I came to your place of business or whatever, self-employment or whatever, in your position over there, and tried to tell you what to do, I'd be wrong. And if folks got to come into the church membership and try to operate outside the wake, that's not the thing God wants. He blesses them. And you got a group of people moving together. Amen. The right church order. These are four things. And there's other things. But the right love, the right Bible, the right outreach, and the right church order. I believe with all my heart, those are four incredibly important principles that need to be in place for God to move a church ahead. He moved this one ahead. And I believe he'll continue to do so. Thank you. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. My dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll please bless our church. We look back over 40 years, it's amazing. And we don't claim to be the only church, and we don't claim to have always been right in every area of church polity and practice. But Lord, we've had the right love, I hope. And every now and again, we probably have the church get our hearts cold and have to be brought back to the first love. We've had the right Bible, we've had the right outreach. We need to add to that. Lord, keep what we've put in place and just do more. And Lord, we've had the right church order. And I thank you for a group of people who understand. And especially a group of men who understand the right church order. And I pray, God, that you'll just help us to get on board. Follow on. May you bless us and help us these next several years for as long as Jesus stays in heaven. Keep us on this street corner as a lighthouse proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. We'll thank you for it, kid. Let me pray.